Mariadello?
Gotcha.
Hey.
Hey.
Good evening.
Yeah, good evening.
Before we start, would anybody like to express an opinion on whether you'd like to do what is normally Tuesday's class, the Advanced Reincarnation, or would you like to do the Letter Resh, which we didn't have a class last night, for which I apologize?
Well, I think I'd like Letter Resh, but I really, it really doesn't matter. They're both good.
Me too.
I understand. Okay. Anybody in favor of Advanced Reincarnation tonight?
That's good.
That came out funny, but.
Well, actually, I think we had started chapter 31, and then we were disconnected of section 1 the last time.
Right. I'm here to do Letter Resh tonight and go back and redo chapter 31. So we will do that. Please join me in saying the Anna Bekoach. Anna Bekoach Gedula Chilincha Tati Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi Kabel Rina Amcha Sarveinu Sarveinu Sufre Sion Sintet Nun Na Gibor The sequence Yud Kaf Shin is a healing sequence that allows us to take any part of our needs healing back to its stem cell state, where it can be cleansed, where it can be healed, where it can be rejuvenated, and then returning it to the body in its newly recreated pristine state, where it will again do its job as it was meant to do. The letters of the month of Nisan, the Dalet that created the planet Mars, the planet Ma'adim, the planet of war, and the Hey, that created the constellation Taleh, the lamb, or for the male, the ram. Together, the He and the Dalet represent, or can be translated as, the doorway to the physical world. The gematria of the He and the Dalet together is 9. And there are 2 ways to perceive that. One is counting down, the Sephirot starting at Keter. The 9th Sephirot is Yesod. But counting up from Malchut, the 9th Sephirot is Chachmah, wisdom. And wisdom is connected to creation. Creation is the Yesod. You begin to see some of the ways of unification. Barchem tacharem rachamei tishtacha tzadim betet resh tzaditav gimel Hasim kadosh v'rotim kadosh na'el Yod Gimel Amud, Pei Zayin Kuf. Shavatenu Kabel, Ushma Tiyasatenu, Yod Gimel Amud. Shin Kuf Vav, Tad Yod Tav. We're going to read the four verses from the Tanakh. The first verse we're going to read connects us to the energy of the previous year, 5774, the year that we changed somewhat and were able through that change to manifest a ceasefire agreement in the south of Israel. We want to make sure we don't fall back and lose that ceasefire. And in addition, we want to keep changing and moving forward so that we can manifest a full peace treaty in all of the borders. This is from Samuel Bet, chapter 7, verse 10. V'sam ti makom l'ami Yisrael Now we're going to read verses, three verses that relate to the energy of this year, 5775. And the essence of all three verses, the essence of the year, is to give us the perception to be able to see that death is an illusion, to be able to see through that illusion to the truth that we no longer have to die. Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo ishemimeni lo tarpeni adili ruki. And 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru, udu, mipoha mahalo yiyam. Asher yitchabe sham with them, Eli el nachom, behalaki yitchem, with hayayim yeshno varet, vechi pasti, o to, bechol ha'e yehudah. And the third verse, Job chapter 20, verse 7. Kigelo lanetzach yovedo ro'av umru ayov. So we're going to now read a verse from the Zohar, from the Parashat Tzav. Section 13, we're going to read Pasuk 98. And we're going to start with the L'shem Yehud, that paragraph or prayer sentence that aligns our consciousness with that of the unification, with that of the unity of the universe. L'shem Yehud Kudsha Berichu Ishkinte bidhilu, urchimu udhilu, leakta shem yudke bavavke, beyehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Amar Rabbi Shimon, Ketiv, ze karban acharon, uvana vasher yachrivu, la Hashem tachatzi. Kaive alma, garmin leya, Lekucha Barichu, Listalka Mekikaf Yud, Ahidikti Vish, Tahu, Tahepukot, Yishalach, Madon, Vanirgan, Mifrid Aluf, Manhu Aluf, Dakud Shabarihu, Tida Aluf Neurai, Ataweinun, Mafrishin, Zot Mize, Dihu, Shalama, Teveta, Weinun, Zeduga, Kada. Rabbi Shimon said, "It is written, this is the sacrifice of Aaron and his sons, which they shall offer to Hashem. Come and see. The wicked in the world caused the Holy One, blessed be He, to depart from the congregation of Israel. Hence it is written, a perverse man sows strife, and a mischief maker separates close friends. Who is the close friend? It is the Holy One, blessed be He. As it is written, you are the close friend of my youth. They separate zot, the Hebrew word for this in the feminine form. They separate malchut from zeh, this in the masculine form, which is zeranpin, which is a household piece, namely yesod, they who are united together. I draw your attention, because I read this on Sunday as well, and I read the commentary, but I'm adding this verbally tonight. It says, the wicked in the world cause the Holy One to depart from the congregation of Israel. That really doesn't make sense unless you understand that the wicked in the world are actually uncorrected children of Israel. And it is up to us to change ourselves so that they will realize that they need to change. And that's how we reconnect and get closer to the Creator. Does anybody have any questions? Tonight's class, as we discussed earlier, was going to be on the letter Resh. You can find it on the Revealed Wisdom page, which is in the link in the top red bar on any of the Yeshem web pages. Scroll down to the matrix to row 7. The second column from the left is about the Hebrew alphabet. And when that page opens, scroll down to the letter Resh. And we will start. The letter Resh is not very logical. I'm getting some static, so I'm going to ask everyone to press *6 on their phone, which mutes your phone. And that usually work controls with static, but if it doesn't, I'll do it on the master control. Thank you for doing that. Because this is an important point, and it's the first sentence. The letter Resh is not very logical. One of its spelling is a word. It has the meaning of beginning with certain vowels. Yet it is near the end of the order of the Aleph Bet. Does that make sense? Actually, as we will see, there is logic to this after all. There are 4 New Years in the Hebrew calendar, just as there are 4 beginnings in the Hebrew Aleph Bet. The ordinal beginning is the Aleph. The phonetic beginning is the He, which makes the sound of the breath for each letter. In script, each letter begins with a point and connects to the Yud. In meaning, the beginning is the resh. The four letters spell the word Aryeh, which means lion. This connects to the 216 letters of the 72 names of God through its gematria. These letters also permutate to spell Yirah, or awe, which previously in earlier generations was translated as fear. But there is a higher level, that of awe, which is the beginning of wisdom, according to the proverb. The resh is actually the 20th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. There are 20 gerar in the shekel, the holy shekel. So who cares? It teaches a very spiritual lesson about direct and indirect light. Direct light is the flow from the upper worlds down to the physical world, where, by using binding by striking, we return this light back up to the upper worlds. This is the only way to reveal light in the Malchut, or the physical world, since Malchut has no light of its own. There are 10 Sephirot to draw the direct light, and once you've used binding by striking, you are creating a different frame of reference called the indirect light, or returning light. And that also has 10 Sephirot. And that's the 20 that is represented by the resh. The resh is actually, the gematria of the resh is 200. 200 is one half of the maximum number in any letter. The Tav has a gematria of 400. One half is the resh. The form of the resh is similar to the Dalet. The difference is the right top corner. In the resh it is rounded, while in the Dalet it is a square with the top vav going past the vertical vav. Implied in this discussion, the vav is made from two vavs. The resh is made from two vavs. The meaning of the word resh depends, and that hints, I should mention that that also hints, the two vavs, being a gematria of 12, hints to the 12 tribes. The meaning of the word resh depends on the spelling or the filling of the word. When spelled resh, resh yud shin, it has a gematria of 510, and it means beginning. Yet it is not near the beginning of the alphabet, as said above. Actually, the beginning that is being referred to is the creation story in the Torah. There are 34 verses in the first 34 verses, actually, that describe the creation story. The first verse, as we know, starts with a bet, while the next 33 starts with a vav. This adds up to 200, which is the gematria of the resh. Here is the formula that explains this statement. 33 times 6 is 198, plus the 2 of the bet comes to 200. The first letters of all 34 verses of creation have a gematria of 200, meaning the beginning. Teaching us another way of making the connection in the Torah and thereby understanding the codes in the Torah and why the Torah starts with Bereshit when Rashi explains that the Torah should actually start with the giving of the new moon, the giving of the new moon mitzvah. Here is a very powerful explanation of the essence of the resh. The question that can be asked is, why does the resh point in the direction it points? It could point towards the kuf. Instead, it points towards the shin. The answer comes from the word rasha, which is spelled resh, resh, shin, hey. And it means an evil person. An evil person is one who turns its back on repentance, which we learned is connected to the kuf. When a person turns towards the kuf and becomes the word rak, resh kuf, he becomes a connection word, which translates as just, only, but, except, least, or indeed. There is much to contemplate in how connection words help to unify. After all, creation starts with words. The idea of creation is also connects to the song, which is in the reverse order of the spelling of letter resh, that becomes shir. Shir means song. In one of the other spellings, rosh, resh aleph shin, the meaning of which is head, we see a similarity to the beginning. This word is used in the mitzvah of rosh and many other ideas. It also becomes a metaphor for the concept of a beginning being in the head. The third spelling, resh, resh shin, has the meaning of poor. It represents the concept of lack. The shape of the resh represents the profile of a poor man with a bent back, collecting charity. How do we relate this lack to the head? The difference in the words is the letter aleph, which connects us to Hashem. The poor man, when connected to Hashem, becomes an economic head, providing fulfillment through jobs and other economic means for other poor people. When the head considers itself separate from the body, it shows its lack. Actually, when the head thinks it is more important than the other heads, it creates its own lack. This is a very deep secret within the resh, connected to the writings of the early Kabbalists, that there are not understood by most of the Kabbalists today. The gematria of the resh, spelled resh shin, is 500. The Gemara states that the circumference of the earth is a distance equivalent to a 500-year walk. The name of God, which is spelled out shin dalad yud, has a gematria of 100. The same Shaddai is connected to limitation, as God expressed die, enough, to stop the expansion of the universe. This will be related to the size of Noah's Ark, as these dimensions relate to the idea of a 500 ark expressing a measurement of distance. Many times in the earlier writings of the Kabbalists, they expressed distance in terms of 500-year walks and other relationships around this idea of 500. Continuing to read, it is also taught in the Talmud in Hagiga that there are seven inner earths with each a 500-year walk between them. And today I just read a news article that the geologists have discovered a new level of rock in the earth. They think it will lead them to some understanding of earthquakes and volcanoes and the like. But it's really describing the seven inner earths and the 500-year distance between them. Of course, the conundrum is how does the radius of a circle equal seven times the circumference? When this is answered by the Mashiach, all of the writings of the earlier generations will be clear to us. That is my opinion, anyway. One of the secrets to this comes from the verse in Mishle. This verse translates as, if you seek it like silver and hunt it like treasures, then you will understand the fear of Hashem and find the knowledge of God. Our sages teach that this means that we must seek out our Torah study with the same effort we put towards seeking money. The word seek in Hebrew is spelled Taf Bet Kuf Shin Nun He. This permutates to spell with 500 year. An interesting connection which is revealed by our sage, the Shla, teaches that in the second word in the Kaddish, a prayer that's used in the prayers of a minyan, to elevate between worlds and also to provide soft landings on the return. It's an elevator that takes you up and an elevator that brings you down from one world to the next. The second word in the can be permutated to spell Shaddai and 500. The meaning of all of these connections has not yet been revealed to me. Here are some other essences to the letter Resh. The form represents the mind bending over to express itself in words rather than pictures, which is the vocabulary of the unconscious. The Resh also represents the expression of God's thought through speech. It also represents the revelation of Shabbat during the weekdays, and also the union of Kabbalah and Halakha. These are code words for Chokhmah and Malchut. The Resh also relates to the feeling of poor or lack prior to reaching the consciousness of selflessness, as taught by Kabbalah. The unity of conscious and unconscious thought, as well as the long day of Rosh Hashanah, which people call as 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, but the Talmud tells us it is one long day. We are taught that the minimum amount of value for a wedding ring is 200 zuz. This is the minimum amount that a person must have in order to support a bride. This is the connection to the Resh. The Resh also represents the king, Rosh, and his people, poorness. During the temple times, there were 200 heads of the Sanhedrin that came from the tribe of Issachar. Here are two interesting connections to the gematria of 510, or Resh, spelled Resh Yud Shin. The sequence Av, Ima, Ben, Vibat, father and mother, son and daughter, have a gematria of 510 and represent all of creation in the frame of the four worlds. Drosh is one of the levels of Torah dealing with allegory and also has a gematria of 510. Here is the story that we normally read for each letter. Letter Resh, climbing the ladders. After a day with the teacher and some time playing the ancient game called base, the prince was quite tired. Although it was not evening, it was time for an outing, and as tired as he was, any place could look good enough to sleep. He was in a part of the garden that was open. Here there were no trees to block the warmth of the afternoon sun. Here there were no flower beds to avoid, no bushes, no statues, and no reflecting pools. Here there was only a long opening beneath the deep blue sky. The prince was so tired he lay down right there on that spot. He was even so tired that he did not notice the rock underneath his head. It was big enough and flat enough to be a pillow, if someone wanted a pillow made of stone. But the prince did not even feel it. That is how completely exhausted he was. So there he lay upon his stone, hard pillow. In seconds, he was asleep. The sunshine was his blanket, and the cool breeze was his comfort. Behind his eyes, he saw the garden. Can you explain how this story relates to the letter Resh? The letter Resh, the good head volition. The good head volition, the letter Resh is one of the letters that is most paradoxical, in my opinion. We will discuss six words below that relate to this paradox. Here are the words. Ra, evil. Rasha, evil person. Reash, noise. Ratzon, desire. Rafua, healing. And Rosh, head. It is recommended to contemplate these words. See the unity behind the paradox. This is the ultimate level of unification, being able to see unity behind or within a paradox. One other interesting teaching from the sages is that prophecy, the Hebrew word navuah, must first come through a cone of silence, which requires us to remove that noise. The word for noise starts with a resh, and the word for prophecy starts with a nun. Together they spell one of the Hebrew words for song, which is ran. The head is protection from evil. There are a number of problematic words that begin with the letter resh. Please see the list above for some of them. Yet there is also a positive word that is very important to the children of Israel. Rosh, meaning the head. In Hebrew, this refers to both the physical head of something and also the spiritual head, which is also called beginning. The word for evil is also, if vocalized differently as re'ah, becomes the word for friend. Written backwards, it can be read as er, which means aware. My commentary. Parashah Vayishlach, there is a story as the head, the beginning of the physical Mashiach. It is the story of Tamar and Yehuda. Tamar is the daughter or granddaughter of Shem, the firstborn son of Noach. As the firstborn, Shem is the high priest of, and Tamar is a bat kohen, a daughter of a priest. Shem married his daughter, or his granddaughter, to Er, the firstborn son of Yehuda, who was also at that time expected to become the high priest of the world, referring to Er as the firstborn of the king of the children of Israel. There is an ancient teaching that when a person marries someone not their soulmate and has children with them, this action and this arrangement makes great difficulty for the creator. Er, being aware that Tamar was not his soulmate, wasted his seed on the ground rather than impregnate Tamar. This action was considered evil for many reasons, one of which it caused pain to Tamar to be rejected in this manner. This, in my opinion, is one of the reasons that a married woman of the children of Israel is entitled to her conjugal rights, as it is taught by the rabbis. We learn from this story and many others the power of our names, and that by studying our names we can learn additional aspects of Torah and our tikkunim, our correction. Continuing to read, This association is taught by the name Er, indicates that awareness is our strongest weapon against negativity, and alludes to the risk that friends can become enemies. This happens especially if we are not aware of the need for the personal transformation that our enemy is obliging us to pursue. This notion is also alluded to by the two letters that are written larger than usual in the first verse of the Shema, the central declaration of Jewish monotheism. Hear, O Israel, Hashem is our God, Hashem is one. Here the enlarged Hebrew letters, Ayin and Dalet, form the Hebrew word Ed, which means witness in Hebrew. This prayer is the strongest Jewish mantra inducing a person to become his or her own witness and become aware of the influence of subconscious conditioning. The role of mental awareness in the process of transformation is encoded in the Hebrew names of two important festivities in the Hebrew calendar, Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Chodesh. The first one is the beginning, or literally the head of the year. The second one is the beginning, or head of the month. Both heads are followed by words meaning change and transformation. Shana, translated as year, shares the same root with the word shinui, meaning transformational. And Chodesh, month, shares the same root with the word chidush, meaning innovation or newness. On Rosh Hashanah, the children of Israel have the duty to work on the contents of their Rosh, transforming as much as possible unconscious conditioning into thereby avoiding the risk of spending the whole year in a state of shina, sleep. The pivotal choice between shinui and shina that faces us on Rosh Hashanah is alluded to by the fact that all three words, shina, shana, share the same root, evil and noise. Close affinity between the words reash, noise, and ra, evil, draws our attention immediately to modern society's role in the degeneration of the human condition through sound pollution and air pollution, which can be conceived of as chemical noise. Walking through the clamorous noise and chemical pollution of city traffic deeply disturbs and upsets our delicate psychological and spiritual balances. Couple, like all committee teachers, at every exterior phenomenon has its interior effect. The mental tendency towards disruption and confusion is amplified by the deafening echo of city traffic. The relationship works in reverse, too. Evil encourages noise, and these two elements activate and stimulate each other's growth. The American Indians have something to teach us in this regard. In 1855, a letter was sent to the President of the United States from the chief of the Chumash tribe in Seattle. He wrote, "There is no quiet place in the white man's cities, no place to listen to the leaves of spring or the rustle of insect wings. But perhaps because I am a savage and do not understand that the clatter only seems to insult the ears. But what is there to life of a man cannot hear the lovely cry of the whippoorwill, for the arguments of the frogs around the pond during the night?" Excuse me. Today, the white man has polluted the entire world, and not just the land of the Indians. With this din, in the face of this disaster, we can at least silence another thundering noise, that of our thoughts, in order to increase peace and well-being. We can start to control our inner noise. With our heads, our Rosh, we can put a stop to our most obsessive spots. The three-letter Hebrew word Rosh shares his first and last letter with those of the three-letter word Rayash, but its middle letter changes from an ayin to an aleph. As we explained in our discussions of these letters, the aleph, it represents divinity. It is the symbol of monotheism, whereas the ayin is associated with anger. Since the numerical value of the aleph is 1, it follows that in order to change from the negative noise of Reash to the positive Rosh, we must exchange the anger of the ayin for the presence of Hashem. The idea of overcoming this incessant activity of the mind figures on our recitation of the Shema. When we recite its first verse, we cover our eyes with our hand, declaring with this gesture that we are willing to detach ourselves from the outside world. One of the Torah's most important directives is to seek not after your own heart and not after your own eyes. A metaphor used in Buddhist philosophy compares the untrained mind to a monkey who is restless by nature, jumping from one branch to another, then becomes drunk on the wine of desire and is bitten by a scorpion who fills it with envy for the success of others. Finally, it is possessed by the demon of pride, and its torment becomes impossible to describe. The images of the mind. In contrast, the Rosh is the good head, which corresponds in Kabbalah to the faculty Ratzon, which means desire. This is the mentality that allows us to build a new existence, provided that we decide to use it for the good of our soul. As it is written in Psalms, a good intelligence is acquired by all those who fulfill the mitzvot. According to a writer on law, Mr. Afterman, the battle for the mind is the battle for the contents of its images. Indeed, he says that this battle which takes place in the mind is the battle for the person's very essence. My commentary. Some people think that this battle is between good and evil. It is not. This battle is between Satan and Hashem, and you are the battlefield. Contemplate this well. If you see the picture from Hashem in all truth, then you win. If you see the picture from Satan and all its falsehoods, then you win also. Of course, when you see the falsehoods that come from Satan, you weaken his ability to send to you his message until he finally gives up completely. This is the true victory, transforming evil into good, Satan into Hashem, God forbid. The only way to bring awareness into our lives is by ceasing to live like robots, acting according to the mental programs dictated by astrology, psychological configurations, and personal history. All these influences impel us to follow the line of minimum resistance and keep us from making the daily breakthroughs that spiritual growth requires of us. The good mind, however, can help to set us free and even make us kings. According to the oral tradition, the word melech, which means king, is an acronym for mochin, lev, kavod, or kaved. Mind, heart, and liver. The mind governing the heart, which in turn governs the liver and the flames of desire, that is the only way for the good mind to become king of this small world that is a human being. We must not limit the spiritual effort to control the contents of the mind to sessions of meditation. This effort must be carried out in every moment of the day. Every time the desire and the fear find their way from our hearts to our minds, we can refuse to make room for them. Like a king commanding his reign with full power. As a psychologist once wrote, who is the founder of the teaching called the emotional maturity through Torah system of therapy? She teaches, in order to begin the process of disciplining the mind, it is important to remember that you have the choice as to what to let into your brain and what to keep out. It has been estimated that the average person thinks about 10,000 thoughts a day, many of which go in and out without any conscious, intelligent discrimination and/or supervision. Just as we are scrupulous in the observance in the laws of kashrut, the Jewish dietary requirements, then what we put into our mouths, so too must we be careful to keep our thoughts kosher, to monitor our mental processes. Mirror processing makes you feel helpless, hopeless, and hostile. Constructive thinking, on the other hand, helps you face your problems realistically, with confidence and objectivity. My commentary. Kabbalah teaches that the brain, the mind, receives its thoughts from one of two sources, like radio stations using the airwaves. One source is from Hashem and one source is from Satan. We are to consciously let into our minds and brains the messages from Hashem and consciously keep out the messages from Satan. How do we do that? There are steps in this strategy. We first need to decide what thought comes from Satan and then ignore it. Satan is a wily adversary and will keep sending these thoughts until they are ignored. Ultimately, some thoughts need to be virtually put into a box and burned up. Know that when you do that, Satan wins some aspect because you are paying attention to the thought. But eventually the strength of his message will be lowered until you reach the place where you can just ignore it. By the way, in case you weren't sure, that bonfire is a virtual bonfire in your mind. Take the thought and watch it be put into a wooden box. And watch the box being put on the fire, and watch it go up in smoke. The rule of the Rosh to subject the mind to the spirit, and then the heart and liver to the mind, is seen in one of the fundamental rituals of Judaism. Every morning during prayer, men lay tefillin on the head, the source of thought, to impress on the center the awareness of God's adamant to our minds, to tie our minds to his will, and on the arm opposite the heart to subjugate the heart and the power of action, that of the liver, to the mind. The letter Resh is also the beginning of the word Refuah, which translates as healing. Healing takes place when the mind allows itself to be subjected to a higher will. It succeeds in making the various conflicting forces that are inside the personality cooperate with each other in order to reach a common goal. As a conductor subjugates some orchestra players to the composer's overall vision of the piece, the goal is to accomplish the special mission for which each one of us is born. Body healing comes from the inner healing of the forces that make up our inner selves and the balance between. Does anybody have any questions? tomorrow, Wednesday at 7, we will have a question and answer session. That's where you bring the questions, and I answer them. And then we get to determine whether my answer applies to your questions, or it's another question that is being answered. It's always fun, and I highly recommend you send me an email with your questions Wednesday morning, or come to the class and ask your question directly. Thursday at 7 p.m., we will have a Rosh Chodesh connection for the Parasha of Tzav. It's an important one, because Tzav, the Zohar, is the only place you learn that command, which is the meaning of Tzav, is idol worshiping. And understanding that truth will lead you to great insights about yourself. Saturday night, we will have another Zohar class, but this time on the Parsha of Shmini. And in Shmini, we have two of the three balance points in the Torah. There are three center points in the Torah. One of verses, which takes place this Shabbat, in the Parasha of Tzav, of command. Balance is understanding the meaning of command and choosing to do things rather than being commanded to do them. Then there are two other aspects of balance. That's the middle of the Torah for words and the middle of the Torah for letters. Those two are in the Parasha of Shmini. That's Saturday night. Sunday morning, we will continue to read and prepare for Passover, which is the following Friday night. We will discuss We have two handouts to read to complete the preparation for Passover. We will read one of them Sunday morning, and one of them we will read Monday night at 7. So we will be doing the letters Shin and Taf in future weeks, hopefully not too long. Tuesday night we will read what was prepared for this night, which is the Advanced Reincarnation class. But we need to go back over chapter 31, so we will do class 72 all over again. If I forget, please remind me of that next week. I wish you all a beautiful week. I remind you about the ritual for the month of Nisan. Tonight is the fifth day, the fifth month, which is the month of Leo, and we will make that connection tomorrow morning. You can find what to do and how to do it, and even if you're starting late, meaning you didn't pick up on this before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, just starting tonight, it's still a good time to start. Any of these 12 days is a good time to start. Because on the 13th day, through Hashem's mercy, he lets us make up these rituals, make up these connections. That is his mercy, giving you that second chance. Just like Pesach Sheni in the month of Iyar is the energy of second chances. The 13th day of Nisan is a second chance to control the astrological influences. And if anybody didn't make the connections properly, either not doing them or doing them where they're not sure they're done properly, it's best to do a second connection on the 13th, when we will do all 12 months in one day. Shalom to all of you. I hope you have a beautiful week. I hope to speak to you tomorrow for questions and answers. Take care.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Shalom. Aleph.